The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn. Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Truly my soul silently waits for God.
From Him comes my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation.
He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
How long will you attack a man?
You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence.
They only consult to cast him down from his high position.
They delight in lies.
They bless with their mouth,
but they curse inwardly.
My soul waits silently for God alone.
For my expectation is from Him.
He only is my rock and my salvation.
He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord,
have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Instead of doing the commandments, a reflection on the commandments before the sermon, I'm going to do them now before the readings. The Ten Commandments preach repentance, that is, by them God shows you your sin and how much you need a Savior. The third commandment: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So do I strive to make the day of rest holy? Do I care about holy living? Do I use the word of God and prayer to make my time, my work, my study life holy day by day? Am I lazy and bored with the word of God? Have I any fear of God over this neglect? Do I honor the word of God highly by studying it gladly, learning it by heart, and living it? Do I despise the word of God by neglect, paying no attention to it when it is read or preached? Do I love my fellow Christians by being present with them in worship to sustain them? Am I quick to make excuses for neglecting worship because someone else has said or done, or some other things that I don't like or more? Do I spend time complaining about the worship, the pastor, and other people? Do I learn the word gladly so that I may teach others? The fourth commandment: honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Has the fear and love of God shaped my honor and obedience to parents and others in authority? Have I trusted God to bless me and make my life good when I submit to the authority of parents and those over me? Or have I been angry with them, rebelling, fighting against them because I was afraid I was not getting what I had a right to get? Have I been on good behavior when they are present and mocking them when they are absent? Have I given honor and respect to the pastoral office? Have I helped those who carry responsibilities in governing? Do I pray for parents, leaders of the nations, schools, and church? Do I grumble about work given me to do? Have I helped make it easier for those who carry responsibilities for governing? Have I faithfully represented God the Father in disciplining, caring for, and catechizing my children? Am I threatening, abusive, overbearing to those who are under my charge? Our first reading is from the second chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all these things, he has been made to be like brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in him he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter, beginning with verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our third reading is the reading from the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second part, Gethsemane. When they had sung a hymn, he went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter said more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the others said likewise. They went over the brook Kidron and came to a place which was called Gethsemane. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And when he was at the place, he said to them, sit down here while I go on ahead and pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be full of sorrow and turmoil. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Wait here and watch for me. He went on a little from them, about a stone's throw. He fell on his face and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In agony, he prayed more earnestly, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. His sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood. When he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Look, the one who betrays me is here. Even while he was saying this, Judas, one of the 12, came with a detachment and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the place with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went to them and said, whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, had taken his stand with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus replied, I told you that I am he. If I am the one you seek, then let these others go. This was to fulfill the words he had spoken. Of those you gave me, I have lost none. Now he that was betraying Jesus had given them a sign, saying, the one whom I shall kiss, that is he. Seize him and be sure to take him away securely. He went straight up to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, why have you come? Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? They came then and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. When those who were with him saw what was about to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike them with the sword? Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus answered, "No more of that." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given to me, shall I not drink of it?" Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out against me as a thief with swords and clubs to take me? When I was with you day after day teaching in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour, and the hour of the power of darkness. All this has happened that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was a certain young man who followed along. He had only a linen cloth about his naked body. They laid hold of him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and fled away naked. Then the detachment and its captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who gave counsel to the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. done for you. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God's character, His nature, is self-giving love. Everything Jesus does, He does for us. This phrase is introduced this week in the hymn, Pro Nobis, or For Us. It appears again and again in the hymn. Jesus is baptized for us. Jesus fasts for us. Jesus is tempted for us. Jesus overcomes temptation for us. And in doing so, begins His work of undoing the power of the devil. It is especially worthy of noting that because Jesus suffered when tempted, He can help those who are being tempted. He not only helps you in your weaknesses, but His love for you extends all the way to the grave. Dear saints in Christ, tonight as you continue looking at the ancient hymn, O Love, How Deep, and I'll try to understand the ministry of angels among God's people. You see, this very essence of God's character is self-giving. God does absolutely nothing for Himself. His nature is not to serve His own end. Some propose that it is hidden in Him alone. Rather, God's character is self-giving. Or if you would prefer to put it another way, God is love. That is why the third stanza includes the phrase, for us, which is repeated throughout this hymn. The phrase is pro nobis,